very pleased to be joined by the assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames, Craig Conroy, who I'm guessing has been very busy. How much junior hockey have you watched in the last month?
Yeah, a lot. More than I have all year. It's always like that, though. You know, when you get down to the end, you want to get in and get those last viewings. Even though you've kind of built the player up anyways, you know what the player is. You know, but it could sway you a little bit one way or the other, but you try not to let it get too make too big a difference, though.
Yeah, because that's the science of it, right, is trying to evaluate and then wonder, well, when I saw him earlier, has he been progressing? Is he better now? Is he closer to being the player he can be now than he was earlier in the season? Because I think there is that tendency to watch a more recent viewing and discount what it is you're seeing. Is that fair?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think you kind of have a picture. All our scouts have been in to see him, you know, let's say 20 times. You're reading those reports. You have a picture of what the guy is, and you go in, and he might just be a bad night, or it might be a good night. But, you know, you get a good feel what the guy is, though, what he does well, what he's going to be at the next level, and, you know, whether you're worried about, you know, his hockey sense or skating, or, you know, you got to figure out what you think can improve a lot. And if it's something that's really holding them back that you just can't get by, then, you know, maybe it's a guy you don't want to draft.
Assuming that the top two picks either way, whether it's Line A or Matthews, go 1-2 or flip them, how many, and let's, you can't forecast whether or not there's going to be a trade. You own the sixth pick. How many players do you anticipate? How big is the group that you feel you'll be selecting from at six?
I think there's a group of 5 to 6 players, if I have to, that I would say, hey, these guys could go in, depending upon who liked them.
Yeah.
There's 5 or 6 guys for those next 3 spots that I think would have no problem going. You know, if you said we need this type of player, they could take, you know, whichever one it might be. I see that. I don't see many more than 6, though.
Interesting. It seems like you're in that group of 6. You could take your pick of best defenseman available, and there's a few candidates out there, or that second tier of forwards. How do you weigh the risk and reward of taking a D-man versus a forward? Because it does seem to be a little bit easier to swing and miss on a D-man high in the draft.
Well, for sure. I mean, obviously, you know, defense, we feel like we're pretty solid at defense. We have good young guys. You know, we've locked you up for a long time. But there definitely is a couple of intriguing defensemen. And if they were there, you know, that's why we talked about yesterday. Let's put the list in order. We don't want to draft by position. You know, Brian Burke mentioned in the meeting, too, and Brad said, hey, let's just get the order the way we like it. If we like a defenseman ahead of the forward, you know, let's do that. If we like the forwards ahead of the defenseman, we just have to make sure we don't want to go in saying, well, our need is a forward, so let's put the forwards ahead. We said, no, let's just order them in the way we think they are as players, and then we'll go from there. So, I mean, there's been some good discussion. It took us first day of the meetings yesterday, it took a long time, and, you know, especially when after we got through those first, you know, 3, it took a long time until 10, so it was a battle.
Yeah, so it didn't take long to evaluate 1 and 2?
No, it was pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, maybe, you know, if you could ever get up there, that'd be great.
So,
I'm not holding my breath, though.
Yeah. So you said it takes a while to get down to 10. That 10, your top 10 as a team, do you feel like that's cemented now, or is it still very much in the up for debate stage?
I feel it's pretty, you know, I mean, I think it's funny because in the prior meetings, you know, I think in January, it has moved a little bit. You've seen guys that have really stepped up and moved in and, you know, that we like more than we did a few months ago. So I would never say, but we're not going to get many more viewings on these guys, you know. So I really do think it's kind of cemented in now the way we like it.
Mm-hmm. Very close to home.
You know, and then we go to the combine. I say that, then we go to the combine, and then you're doing your medicals and all that. If something came up that was a red flag, then it could change a little bit. So I don't want to say it's 100% done.
Well, there was a huge red flag a couple years ago, and you guys looked past it to take Sam Bennett. So I would guess if there's one thing you guys have learned from experience is not to read too much into that. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as long as you know with the injuries and the doctors talk and they say he's going to be 100% healthy, if there's something that they feel isn't going to be okay and in 5 years he's going to have a major, major problem, then you really got to look at it. But with Sam, hey, he's going to be done for a year, but he's going to be fine. You know, so we're like, oh, okay, perfect. Let's, you know, then we don't have an issue with that.
You had a bunch of picks in the first and second round last year. This year the same, although Dallas couldn't do you the favor with that Game 7 loss to St. Louis. You'll pick at 35, 53, and 55 for the 3 second-rounders. If you use them, and I know that's a nice chip to have at the table, those 3 picks, or chips, I should say, what does the second round look like? How is the depth of this year's draft? Because we always hear about the top 4, 5, 10 guys, but what about the guys that you could get at 35 to 55? Are you confident with that group?
You know, it's some interesting guys. I don't think it's as deep, to be honest. But I do feel like there's some good players that we really like that could maybe not help us right now, but you figure, hey, it adds some good depth. And moving forward, if one of them pops, you know, you'd be pretty excited. I mean, we talked about, hey, you know, with 3 picks, you could take some flyers on some guys. A guy with skill that, you know, maybe you wouldn't just say it's the – you never want to pick a safe player. You never want to say, oh, it's a safe pick, because there's really no safe picks, you know. But, you know, maybe we take a flyer and a couple guys, hey, we really like this defenseman or we like that player. We grab a goalie. You know, you never know. It gives you so many options, and it will let you take some more chances and not risk, but, you know, kind of take a few more stabs at it.
Chatting with
but
Craig,
I do like some of the players there for sure. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, chatting with Craig Conroy, the defense is interesting because depending on which list you look at, you have Jacob Chychrun out of Sarnia, you've got Sergachev with the Windsor Spitfires, and then Ollie Ulivi, who's still playing for the London Knights up in Red Deer. Depending which list you look at, I know ISS has Chychrun number one. A lot of people feel like Ulevi's at the top of that list. Sergachev somewhere in the mix. Do you have a definitive 1, 2, 3 as to who you covet more, or even a definitive 3, and then maybe the other two are perhaps on a rotation?
Well, I have a 1 for myself personally.
Yeah,
I have 1 I like way better than the other two. You know, so for me, it's not even close, but.
So,
you know, they're all good.
Yeah.
But I do like one way better than the other ones.
So are you going to go to Red Deer and watch them play on Sunday?
I don't know. I went up to Red Deer the other day. It's the London games aren't great, boy. I'll tell you. They've been that Marner, he's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
How tough is that, Craig, when you are watching, let's say, a 9-1 game? Is that a tough evaluation night from a scouting perspective?
It is, because, you know, guys kind of... Not that they go through the motions, but you know when it's not, everything's not on the line, and it is nice that, you know, when Hunter puts those guys out for 2 minutes on the power play every time, even when it's 8-1, you're thinking, geez, here they come again for the whole 2 minutes. I'd hate playing against them because I'd be just fuming if they did that to me, but that's kind of, you know, Hunter's MO right now as a coach. Like, he's going to run it up and he's going to play his best players, and you know, you see Marner out there killing a penalty and it's 8-1. I'm thinking, really? Maybe somebody should be taking a shot at this guy, a slap shot. That would drive me crazy. But it is tough to evaluate when the games don't, you know, they're just kind of going through the motions in the second half of the game.
So take me inside the room for a moment, and I want to use that example. You have, out of that defense group, you have one that's a clear-cut number one for you. How adamant or how outspoken are you going to be to try and state your case and basically win the room over that they too should all see things the way you see it?
First, I hope they just see it my way and then I don't have to do that. But if not, they, you know, I'll just mention why I think he's so good, what he does better than everybody else, and where I see him in the future. But in the end, though, like Brian said, hey, we don't have as many viewings on these guys as the amateur scouts. I mean, Todd Button and his staff does an unbelievable job. So I literally, you know, I put my 2 cents in, but at the end of the day, you know, we got to let Todd and his staff make the decisions. But I definitely let them know where I stand on different guys. I might swing it a little bit, but not much.
So when there isn't a consensus, where does the buck stop? Is it with Todd? Is it with Brad? Is it Burke?
You know what? Actually, it's the group as a whole. What you do is, so we all do our reports. We put in our ratings. We put in everything. So, you know, sometimes they say, well, I like this guy better. They're like, but yeah, but you gave him higher hockey sense, higher skating, higher skill, higher compete, higher use of size, higher, you know, you go through all the criterias and you gave this guy all a two. The other guy, you gave twos, threes. You know, why would you do that then? And then the guy's like, oh, you're right. You know, because you just might like a player more, but when you really, you know, start breaking it down, hey, and there might be a guy that have all twos, but we feel there's a better fit with a guy with, you know, he might be a one hockey sense. We think this might be a Ryan O'Reilly type guy. He's got great hockey sense. He's smart. Not the best skater, you know, but he's got all the other stuff, and we want him ahead of the other guy. You know, so, I mean, we go through. It's quite lengthy, and actually this year there hasn't been as many, not fights or arguments. I mean, there's great discussion, but it's been, you know, I think in the end we've come up with a consensus as a group. I think Todd definitely, he can, you know, he can maneuver it a little bit more than anyone else because he's doing most of the talking. So it's fun to watch how they do it. But the guys pretty much, once they look at it and they see everybody's and it's all up on the board at the same time, you know, it really kind of is like a puzzle and it makes sense. So, you know, more than not, there's nobody that's really, you know, there's a couple guys that have fought for guys. And we've just set those guys aside and we're going to come back and revisit them to today. You know, but it's not in those first 10 or 15. It's about 15 to 20, 32, I guess.
So when I imagine this is going to be a fun draft. You've got potentially an expansion draft in a year. You do have the cap coming up a bit. There's a lot of high profile free agents, teams with cap issues. If you're going to move assets around on draft day, when do those conversations start in terms of moving picks or trying to jump up or getting rid of players? Are the seeds already being planted now for the end of June?
For sure. I mean, Brad's having those conversations, but Todd did make a point, Brad, yesterday in the meeting. Hey, if we're going to move all the picks like last year, could we do it before, you know, before Friday? Because, I mean, they were working like, you know, when you have those picks, you're really grinding and you want to make sure everything's perfect. And then we traded all the picks away.
Yeah.
You know, so those guys are like, oh, that was a tough conversation last year to walk in and say, yeah, we just moved, you know, our first and a couple set. They're like, what? They thought I was kidding at first, but, you know, I'm like, no, we're going to get Dougie and then we're going to move on. And you know what? The guys are great. They understand. Hey, good move. And, you know, obviously they would have loved to make all those picks because the opening speech was, this is the most picks we've ever had in the first two rounds with the Calgary Flames. And then they were all gone.
Yeah. I guess I have kind of two that's coming off of that. And I guess I'll stay there. Do you anticipate, or does the team anticipate, like many seem to, that this could be a wild draft in terms of trades because of a potential expansion draft looming?
I'm hoping so. I mean, obviously, with our situation and goal, we would love an expansion draft to come because then there's going to be more goalies on the market, and that gives us an opportunity. But right now, it's not. You know, it's a tough market because there's only so many teams that are willing to part with goalies and the price is so high that makes it, you know, that makes it difficult for us that, hey, you're going to have to overpay right now. If expansion does come, I think that gives us more opportunity and the teams with the goalies less leverage. But, you know, not to say that it's going to be cheap, but it's still going to give us a better chance. So I do see with that coming, hey, there could be players too. If you're starting to figure out how many guys you want to keep, it's going to be fun. I mean, it's going to be a time where this could be one of the more exciting drafts. If it does come, expansion is announced, I think you can see a ton of movement. And that's what's nice to have all those picks because those picks would probably be in play.
The other one I had for you is always when you have multiple second round picks, it's like, well, do you package them up and get a first round pick? And that's always very difficult to do. Just based on the talent that you see at the draft, you're obviously going to have a high pick in round one. Where is that, to use a term, Brian Burke term, where is that ledge where after a certain point you feel like it's not worth moving up? Let's just keep our picks because we feel out of that group there's not enough separation to warrant giving up multiple picks to move up.
You know, it's funny because in the first, you know, the first time we might like a guy, we might have a guy 11th on our list, and he's, you know, there we're sitting at 28 and he hasn't gone yet. I think that's when you make your move.
Yeah.
I mean, you have conviction, you're scouts and you like this player that much, you know, it's hard to move too far. I mean, you know, as much as I'd like to say, we're probably one of the biggest movers going down, you know, from 15 when we went down and took Jankowski. Just to get a second-round pick, that's a huge movement. I mean, when Chris Snow kind of goes through all the people that did it, I'm like, geez, we moved down farther than anybody. You know, that it's a little disappointing when I kind of looked at that this year and said, why did we move so far down just to get one extra second-round pick? Nobody's doing that. So, you know, I do think it's hard to move way up. But, you know, if you get in that area where it gets around 30 and there's a player or two that you really like, you know, Brad's going to make a push. Even we did it last year to get in and get Shillington. You know, we really like Shillington. So to be able to move up in the second round and get him was a huge, huge thing for us. It was pretty exciting. But I think that's the way you do it, though. You know, you get to a certain point. And some teams are saying, hey, I'd rather have the second-round pick. We don't love any of these guys, so we're willing to give up the late first to get the extra second because we kind of, you know, we do like some of the players a little later on.
You mentioned netminding and potential pressure points for teams if there is an expansion draft, which I think most of us expect to happen. Do you see pressure for teams like St. Louis and Tampa where they have guys that are pending UFAs? Is there added pressure, or are you already going to lose a guy anyway on July 1st, so maybe that isn't a spot where you can catch a team under the gun?
Well, I think, you know, I do think it's one where especially in the second team, they got to make a decision because they have guys under contract. What they're going to do going moving forward. They don't have pressure to do it right away, but if they get a good offer and they get a good deal and they think they can help their team for next year, you know, maybe they do it. You know, maybe they say, okay, you know what? We will move one of these guys. But, yeah, I mean, we always say guys are under the cap and, you know, this team's pushed up against the cap. They got to make some moves. I mean, you would say that about Chicago this year, and then they went and get Andrew Ladd. You know, they make all those moves. As much as we want to see this cap and it's hard to make moves and teams are up against it, they always seem to find a way out of it. And that's the difficult thing. So as much as I want to say there's so much pressure, until we actually get there and see what we have to give to get one of those kind of guys, you know, I don't know what it's going to be like. But, yeah, I don't see them saying we have to get rid of a goalie. You know, they could say, hey, we're good. We're going to sit pat and, you know, we'll do this a year from now.
Stand pat.
At the trade deadline, if it comes to that.
Well, I know you got an 8:30 meeting and we don't want you to be late on our account. So get in there and stay in touch, all right?
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks. Have a great day.
You bet. There's Craig Conroy.